We continue on in our journey through Exodus. We'll be in chapter 5 today. Let's pray as we come to the Word. Lord, we thank you for the truth that you teach us in your Word. Lord, we thank you for what you did in and through the people of Israel and what you do through us. And Lord, we pray that these ancient words, Lord, would speak to our heart today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the past, I think I've talked a little bit about having mountaintop experiences. Moses, of course, had a literal mountaintop experience. He met God there in the burning bush, and then he went and met his brother Aaron, and then all the elders of Israel met, and they had this great time of worship, and there was power, and miracles took place, and now they were ready to go in to Egypt and take the people out of slavery in Egypt and deliver them into the promised land. So you got to believe that Moses had this experience, and he must have just been on fire. No pun intended there with the burning bush, but just passionate about God. Have you ever had those moments where you feel especially close to God? It can happen in a church service. It can happen in your own private worship. It can happen at a conference or a retreat or anywhere, really, where you just feel especially close to the Lord. And it happened to me once in my car. I was driving along, and I Surrender All was playing, and I was singing really loud because there was nobody there to whose ears could be hurt by it, and just singing to the Lord. And then the thought hit me as if the Lord was saying to me, "Do you? Do you surrender all? Everything? Yeah, I give it all to you." And it was that day that I decided to accept God's call to ministry. And I was down south at that point, and I drove home, and I looked into applying to seminary. But have you ever had a mountaintop experience that maybe didn't take? Do you know what I mean by that? It's like you were really close to God, and you know, maybe you were listening to a preacher, or you're just reading the Word, or whatever it was, and you just said, "Lord, I'm going to live different from now on." And you know, I'm never going to sin again, or something along those lines. I'm always going to live for you. And then maybe it faded a little bit. Or maybe you felt like God was calling you to do something and you started, but you stumbled along the way. Has that ever happened to you? You know, I think it happens to all of us. And I think we need to get re-energized. And we need to get back closer to God. It's what we need as humans, because I think we sometimes fall into just old patterns and things like that. We need to get fired up again. You know, to use an analogy in sports, of course, I have to do that. If you watch a football player before a game, you'll show them in the locker room or out on the field before the game, and they're pounding on their chest, or they're listening to loud music, and they're getting fired up. They want the adrenaline to flow, right? They want to be ready for this contest that they're going to be in. I want to tell you what I used to do before baseball games. I remember I played in this summer league, and I used to go to work. It was about 17 or 18. I worked for the town of Braintree. It was a physical job. I came home a little bit tired. And so here's what I would do before my baseball games in the evening. I had all the Rocky movies on videotape, VHS. If some of you kids might not know what that is, it was next to my rotary phone, and I had a red-headed mullet parted down the middle because it was the 80s, and my white socks with stripes on them. You remember all those things? And so I would watch the workout scenes in Rocky, the scenes where he'd run up the steps. My favorite was Rocky IV. He ran through the Siberian wilderness with a log on his back and climbed a mountain. And up at the top, and he starts screaming at the top, "Adrian!" You know, so he gets all excited there. And I was doing this, the whole time I was doing this, I don't even know if my parents knew I was doing this every time, I was swinging a weighted bat in the basement of our house. And then I would go to the baseball game, and I was ready to go, ready to play baseball, okay? But, all right, take the sports out of it now. You want to be ready to go for the Lord, like all the time. You want to be fired up. You want to be energized for the Lord. You know, I was wondering how Steve feels. I'm guessing you get a 20-hour flight something like that coming up. You know, he was called to ministry. He was called to China. He was probably fired up at certain points. How do you feel about a 20-hour flight? Okay, don't answer. All right, I gotcha. All right. That's not the most exciting part of that ministry, right? How do you stay passionate for the Lord? Well, let's look at it today. Let's look at this passage. Exodus chapter 5. So they're ready to go into Egypt. Aaron and Moses are going to talk to Pharaoh. And they're going to ask for the Israelites to be allowed to go worship the Lord. So Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." And I've told you in the past that when you see Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, all capitals, that's the Lord's name. That's Yahweh. Who's Yahweh, he says. He doesn't know him. Egypt had all these other gods. He doesn't know him. I'm not going to listen to him, he says. Then they said, this is verse 3, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work." Then Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working." So the answer is no. God gives them this great ministry, this great calling. They go back to Egypt. Pharaoh says no. The interesting thing is God said that's what Pharaoh would say. He told him ahead of time, the king's going to say no. But it actually gets even worse for the Israelites. Verse 6, "That same day Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce their quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." So it becomes even more difficult for the people of Israel. They have to work harder to get the same amount of work done. And skipping down to verse 19, it says, "The Israelite foremen realized they were in trouble when they were told, 'You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day.' When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, 'May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his servants and have put a sword in their hand to kill us.'" So not only does Pharaoh say no, he makes the Israelites work harder, and now the Israelites are mad at Moses and Aaron. So think about this. Moses and Aaron are all fired up for this ministry, for this calling on their lives, and this happens. So think about this. Think about how they must be feeling right now. So here's a truth that I want to give you today. When you follow God and when you do God's will, you will face obstacles. You will face difficulties. Jesus actually promises us this. In this world, you will have trouble. He says it. And sometimes the trouble comes from the circumstance. Sometimes the trouble comes from people. It comes from people outside the church. Sometimes it comes from people inside the church, inside God's people. Sometimes you really feel like you know what God wants you to do in life, and you set out to do it, and then there are people in the church who maybe don't understand, and they oppose you. That happens in ministry all the time. And sometimes it's your fault for not explaining it, or my fault for not explaining things clearly. But there's opposition and there's difficulty. But here's what I want to explain to you and what's going on in the book of Exodus and in our lives. It's not a physical battle with other people or with circumstances. It's always a spiritual battle. There's always some underlying spiritual battle. And here's what's going on here. The enemy, and by enemy, I mean Satan, did not want the people of Israel to get to the promised land. And so Pharaoh is saying, "No way, I'm not going to allow this to happen." And so there's a spiritual battle going on, and they worshiped all these other gods. And what we're going to see in the book of Exodus is God is more powerful than any other so-called god, because they don't really exist. But there's a spiritual battle going on in Moses in Aaron's life, and there's a spiritual battle going on inside of our lives too. There's a spiritual battle sometimes to forgive people or to love people who aren't lovable or to serve in ministry when we're tired or sick or whatever it happens to be. There are obstacles, but it's always spiritual. And if it's spiritual, who do we need to go to? The Great Spirit. We need to go to the Lord with it. And we need to remember this, that even in the difficulty, God is still in control. God is still God. So when God says, go and make disciples of all nations, and he says, surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. He says that. He promises us that. Even when there's obstacles and difficulty and hardship, he's still there. He still carries us through. And I'm not just talking about a specific ministry if you're going to be a missionary or a pastor or anything like that, but living out your Christian life. God is still God. God doesn't change. So what should we do with that? We should seek the Lord. And when I talked about getting re-energized, you can only go so far on adrenaline and emotion. You know, that might get you through a game. That might get you through a football or baseball or basketball game, adrenaline and emotion. But it doesn't get you through life. It doesn't. You can't accomplish anything meaningful just with that. If we want to accomplish anything for the Lord, we need the Lord. That is where we get re-energized. And that's what Moses does. In the next section, it says, verse 22, Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. This sounds like a pretty harsh complaint from Moses, right? Moses is going to God. He doesn't understand. Can you talk to God like this? Apparently. Here's the point. At least he's talking to God. He's taking his complaint back to the Lord. He doesn't understand. He's frustrated. He's dejected. But he goes back to God with it. He seeks the Lord. He doesn't just give up. He doesn't say, well, these people are mad at me, so I'm just going to leave. Sometimes when you do ministry and when you do God's will, people will be mad at you. It happens. But the question is, do you fear God or do you fear people? And so in this passage, we see Moses, he's going back to God. Because here's the point. We can't do God's work alone. This is where we get energized. And this is where, this is God's response. And I asked Steve to actually read verse 6 in the next section. Because here is God's response to Moses. This is where Moses gets re-energized. Chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of the country. Not Moses' mighty hand, right? God's mighty hand. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them and will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh, is what he's saying here. I am the Lord. He's the master. So here is the promise that Moses gets when he's dejected, when he's down, when he goes back to the Lord and all of his frustration. The Lord is going to do it. And it reminded me of a passage in 1 Thessalonians where it says, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. When God calls you to do something, he does it. He accomplishes it. And so as we look at this passage, I want you now to think about this in terms of our own lives, because the book of Exodus and all of the Old Testament, it all is about Jesus. Even if Jesus isn't mentioned, it points ahead to Jesus. Because in this passage, we see God delivering the people out of slavery. But what does Jesus do in the New Testament? Jesus is the new Moses. Jesus is the better Moses, and he delivers us out of slavery. He delivers all people out of slavery to sin, out of all the troubles of this world. He promises to deliver us. So as we read through Exodus, I don't want you to think, oh, it's just a nice story that happened a few thousand years ago. It's a great story. It's a great true story. But it looks ahead and speaks to our lives too. So what is God calling you to do? And how is he leading you? And what are you struggling with? Is there anything in your life that you are enslaved to? Jesus frees you. Jesus is the deliverer. But here's the point. You cannot do this alone. Moses and Aaron could not walk into the court of the Egyptian king and just say, hey, we're taking the people out of here. They didn't have the intelligence. They didn't have the power. They didn't have the clout to do any of that on their own. But God had all the power, and God is about to show his power to them. God is about to unleash his power. But what about us in our lives? Will God do the same thing? Yes, he will. But we got to keep going back to the Lord, and that's what we see in the book of Exodus. Moses keeps going back to the Lord. It's not just about adrenaline. It's not emotion. It's about commitment to the Lord and letting him work through you. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He will accomplish it. Whatever it is he's calling you to do in your life. And remember this, make sure he is calling you to do a certain thing. Because if the Lord's not in it, it won't come to pass. But if God is leading you to do something, to serve him, follow him. Put your faith in Jesus and follow him and trust that he will carry you where you didn't think you could go. He will bring you to the place where you couldn't imagine going to. Because that's what our God does. He is all-powerful. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Let's pray. Lord, give us power to accomplish your work. Help us, energize us, encourage us, build us up. Lord, rebuke us when we doubt. Build us up when we're weak. Lord, I pray that you would do great things through the people of this church, and you would accomplish your work, and you would receive all the glory through your mighty hand. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.